Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for spiritual discernment and insight that you have given us. Lord, I thank you for receptive hearts this morning. As in worship, that the hearts of the people were prepared to receive and to be changed this morning. Lord, let me be your voice. It is such an honor to be able to have the opportunity to speak on your behalf. Lord, that I don't take it lightly, but Lord, that I'm sensitive to hear you speak, to shut my mouth when I'm supposed to. We bless your name this morning and say thank you for the freedom that we have to be able to come together in one body to gather in your name and lift you up above all else. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, I want to ask you a question. Where does your reality lie? Where does your reality lie? In what does your reality lie? Reality, one of the definitions is all of your experiences that determine how things appear to you. All of your experiences that determine how things appear to you. Is your reality based on what the world says, on what the world's telling you, what you see on the news, what you see on social media? Or is it based on the Word of God? In a world that's telling us to do whatever feels right, basically that there is no wrong, that pushes the agenda of you feel it, you do it. Don't let anybody judge you, because if anybody speaks against you, they're judging you. That's all lies from the enemy. Everything is accepted. There's no wrong way. Live how you see fit. That's the world that we live in. Another example is whatever gender you feel like and identify to, that's how you live. And they want to push that and get you to accept that. It's a perverted reality that the world gives. How you perceive things is your reality. To perceive is to become aware of, to know or identify by means of the senses. People develop their perception based on their surroundings and their experiences. So based on your surroundings and your experiences, your perception of reality is going to be different from other people around you. Your perception is your reality. An isolated tribe that has no contact with civilization has a completely different perspective from someone that lives in New York City. We live in the same world, right? But based on how they live, what they see, their experiences, that is their reality. Your reality might lie in social media, the internet, when there's some that don't even know electricity exists. Talk about a completely different perspective. Someone's perspective in the isolated tribe, if they're hungry and they need to eat, they have to go out and kill it. Our perspective, we're hungry, we go to the drive-thru. That's our reality. So you can imagine the difference in perspectives based on how you live, what you look to, what you see. That's why it's so hard and so difficult so many times to be able to bring people into one mind, into unity, because so many people have different perspectives. That's why we operate in love. That's why we operate in love. Because we have to know that, hey, people have different perspectives. Does that make them wrong? Evil? No. But when we get in one mind and we can base our reality and our perspective off the Word of God, there will be unity. There will be. So where does your reality lie? There's a saying that you've heard, seeing is believing. How many have heard that before? I'll have to see it to believe it. But what you see as reality is not always truth. What you see as reality is not always truth. That isolated tribe, if you try to tell him how electricity works and how you can have light in an instant, or a helicopter fly over their island, and they begin to try to attack the helicopter because they don't know what it is. They don't believe that there's things that can fly. That's their reality. But in truth is, we can fly with the capability of technology. So your reality is not always truth. Sorry to tell you that. I'm not trying to be the bearer of bad news, but unless your reality is based on living for God, the Word of God, you can be deceived. Today, I want to bring out the fact that Satan deceives and lies to bring confusion. He's the one that is causing confusion and deception. And so I'm going to show you a video, and hopefully everything comes through good in the picture, to set up the whole fact of what you see is not always the truth.
Watch the image on your screen closely. We've got a quick question for you about these two squares. True or false? This top one here is a darker gray than the bottom one. Pretty obvious, right? Well, maybe not. Because the answer is actually false. Believe it or not, they are exactly the same color. Still don't believe these two squares are the same shade of gray? This man, experimental neuroscientist Bo Lotto, is going to show you why your brain is constantly being fooled by what it sees. We'll take a look at the illusion again. If you want, try holding up one of your hands and block this section of the image. If you're having trouble seeing it, we'll help you out. Crazy, right? Take a look at this object. One glance and you know what it is. But how do you know what it is and where it's positioned in space? Well, let's break it down. The light reflected by this object is converted by your eyes into an electrical signal and is sent down a neurological pathway called the optic nerve to the back of your brain. Starting in this region, called the visual cortex, the image is cross-referenced with memory of past experiences stored throughout your brain as you try to identify the object. Once it's figured out what it is, your brain has to decide how the object is positioned in space, and one of its most reliable tools is to use shadows. Here's another illusion to show you how that works. Take a look at that basketball again. We're going to put it on the court and move it along a diagonal. Now we're going to add a shadow. It's still moving in the same way, right? Okay, so what if we change the position of the shadow? Do you think we can trick your brain into seeing the ball's motion differently? Does it look like the ball is taking off now? Let's tweak the shadow one more time. What's the ball doing now? Looks like it's bouncing, right? In a world with a single light source, your brain has learned to trust shadows as a near foolproof way to know the behavior of objects in space. And in general, it's worked. Until now.
Behind me, there are two shadows that both appear gray because we have two white lights that are facing me. Now, if we replace with a purple filter, let's see what happens to the colors you see. The shadow no longer looks gray. It looks green. So the question is, where is that green light coming from? Well, there is no green light. The shadow's gray, but it looks green. Why? Because of the color that's surrounding it. Context is everything.
Let's start with this illusion. Stare at the X in the middle of the image. Do you see the green dot moving around in a circle? Now try to follow that green dot with your eyes. Nothing there, right? This illusion helps demonstrate how quickly your brain finds motion in your surroundings. Want to see how it does this? As you watch the X, neurons throughout your visual cortex compare the image you're looking at from one moment to the next. Specific neurons track the changing position of objects between the images, allowing you to comprehend them as moving through space. In the moving circle test, the missing dot here leaves an after image. As this after image shifts position, your brain sees a pattern that it decides is motion, and it stitches together the frames to see a moving green dot. Cool, right?
Part 2 coming next. Subscribe and like.
I don't know what that last part was. That wasn't. But did you see that how your mind, you know, there's a lot of technological stuff in there, but what I'm getting to is how your mind can play tricks on you because of what you've experienced in the past, the things that you've been through, situations you've been through, have filled in those gaps in your life that says, okay, this is my reality because of what has happened in the past. This is my perspective, and so therefore my reality is this. You know, just like with that first one, all of those were great examples. You know, the first one with simply just that little transition point caused your mind to go, okay, these are two different colors. And the second example, the basketball. And while I was sitting there watching this, God kind of gave this to me. All based on the shadow changed how you saw it. Now, I want to take that word shadow. How does Satan operate? In the shadows. He operates in the shadows. Those things, those deep, seedy things that aren't quite right. That's how he operates and gets you to have that perception of the world. That's why it's so important. We've got to get away from the perception that the world is telling us what is right and wrong, how we should live, and base it on the Word of God. We need help seeing what's right in front of us. What you saw in front of you earlier, what you first saw, you had an idea of what it was until it was explained to you, until you were told, hey, this is the reality of it. This is what's truth. Truth is absolute. Truth doesn't change. Your reality can change. And this morning, I hope that the truth does change your reality. Because God is truth. His word is truth. That does not fail. The illusion of knowledge. It's what it is. It's the illusion of knowledge. Something is missing, and the human mind fills in what it thinks belongs. Instead of allowing God to fill those empty spots. What the world has, it fills the gaps with past experiences and warped ideas. An example of being deceived in Genesis 27, if you recall the story of Jacob, Isaac, and Esau, how Jacob deceived his father, Isaac, to be able to get the blessing of the firstborn. Now, what did he do? He used the fact that his father was blind, and he went in there and had the smell and the feel. You know, they killed the goat and covered his arms because Esau was a hairy man and smelled like the outdoors. You know, when someone's outside a lot, you can smell that difference than someone who's inside. They have a different smell about them. And so Jacob used that to deceive his father. And so his father took those things, and because he didn't have sight, he filled in the gaps with past experiences to determine, okay, this is Esau. So therefore, I'm going to bless my firstborn. And in fact, it wasn't his firstborn. So Isaac was deceived, right? Isaac was tricked. Because he was blind and he relied on other senses. And those other senses deceived him. True knowledge comes from God. That's the only real way you're going to know what truth is. Your faith lies in your reality. So what your reality is, you're going to base your faith in that. If your reality is in God, you're going to base your faith in God. If your reality is based on money and material things, your faith is going to be in those things. Your faith lies within your reality. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Why does the Word tell us to walk by faith and not by sight? Because your mind is constantly fooled by what it sees. We saw that earlier in the video. The Word also tells us faith is the evidence of things not seen. So we don't want to base on what we see. We don't want to base our reality on what has happened in our life, our experiences, the bad times we've been through and the troubles that we've had and the news reports that you see all the time. That's corruption. And so therefore your reality will be corrupt. Again, past experiences affect how we see and recognize outcomes. Psalms 119 and 18 says, open my eyes to see the wonderful truths in your instructions. Open my eyes. That needs to be our prayer. That the Lord opens our eyes to His truths. To His truths. Because we have our eyes closed when we're doing it by ourselves. When we're not relying on God. Our eyes are closed. You can think they're wide open, but they're closed. You don't see what is really happening right in front of you because you're being told and shown things that are corrupt. Just like in the video that you saw, when you saw it one way and then your idea of it was renewed to something different because you were told what the truth was. the whole watching the middle, the X, and watching the dots, your mind filled in the empty spot there. And when your mind fills in the empty spots in your life, you'll be deceived. You will be deceived. There's no truth in what we know. What we know is the Word of God, and that is truth. That's the only thing. That's what the Word of God does for us. It shows us what is truth and gives you a standard or a basis, a base foundation for reality. And it changes your perspective. That's what the Word of God does. Gives you the standard. The standard to which you can base everything else off of. Because when you rely on the Word, when you get in the Word and study the Word, seek what the Spirit has to show you in the supernatural. When you see what happens in the world, you can know these are deceptions from the enemy to try to distract you, to try to bring fear, to bring confusion. Because that's what it does. Now, is it good to know what's happening and to be up to date, to know, okay, this is what's going on in the world? Yeah, I think it is. But don't let it rule your life. Don't let it be the basis of your perspective and become your reality. Know what's going on so you can pray. But don't let that be your standard. Don't let that be your base foundation. Because if it's not based on the Word, where does your reality lie? In what does your reality lie? The other thing I want to look at and bring out, like I said last week, I love having statements that I can do two different directions on. Where does your reality lie to you? Where does your reality lie to you? So one, in what does your reality lie? And two, where does your reality lie to you if it's not founded on the Word? Because it is, and it will. The world-based perspective will cause your reality to lie to you. In Ephesians 4:21 through 24, since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from Him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and what? Deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So what is the Scripture saying? What is it telling us? That when we rely on ourselves, on our own human emotions, decisions, it's corrupt and we will be deceived. So instead, renew yourself in the Word. Renew your thoughts and your attitudes. Renew them. The Word talks about being renewed. Satan's really good at deception. It tells us in John 8:44 that it's in his nature to lie. That is his character. He will lie, and he is the father of lies, is what it says. That's his nature and character, is to lie. And when you lie, it's easy to deceive. If that's all you do, you become really good at deception. With the art of misdirection, the person becomes blind to the things when their attention is on one thing, enabling that person to work things right in front of them. What am I saying? In videos that I've seen before, there's a guy that his whole thing is the art of deception. And he talks about that if he can get somebody's focus and manage that focus, he said it's hard to control their focus. He said, but if you can manage and know where their focus is going to be, then he can do the other things that he needs to do. That's what Satan's good at. He's good at getting your focus over here to distract you so that way you're not looking to God. Because if he can distract you and keep your focus and manage that with the problem that you're going through, that you're focusing on the trial that's happening in your life at this time, and that becomes your focus, he's managing your focus so that way he can continue to work in the background and begin to cause other things instead of you focusing, going, no, I'm not going to look at my problem. I'm going to focus on God because of what he says about me, because of what he said I have, that he says I have victory. And so when your focus is on Christ, what he's trying to work is not going to succeed. Satan. I'm not saying what. Let me clarify. That when our focus is on that, Satan's tactics are not going to work. Because our focus is in the right place. And in the spiritual, God's going to show us, hey, this is what's being worked right now by the enemy. And you can pray. And you can rebuke it. And you can cast it down. And you can stop it. Because your focus is on God. He will reveal those things to you. Give you discernment to go, okay, this is what Satan's trying to do. Pay no attention to what he's trying to do, to how he's trying to distract you, and focus on me. I'll take care of that. I'll take care of that. Last week, like I said, when he's the builder, he says, I'm taking care of it. You just focus on what I'm telling you to do, where to go, how to do it, when to do it. When a man knows this, do you not think Satan knows it too? Because what works in the natural can work in the supernatural. Because after all, Satan is the author of lies. He's the father of lies. He's the master of deception. So, if he knows, or let me put it this way, because man knows this, Satan is the one that originated the art of deception and can use it. But when a man that has experienced those things, say a former pickpocket changes his life, turns his life around, that he knows and he recognizes those things, that if someone tries to come and pickpocket him, he knows how it works, how it operates, and he can put a stop to it. He can go, no, 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 no. I know they're going to try to do this, so this is what I'm going to do. You know, I can guard against that. That's what we have to do. We have to guard against what Satan's trying to do. Because when we seek God, when we're going after God, he'll reveal to us how the enemy works. Because in past experiences, we know what he's done. We know how he's operated in our lives. Because when he succeeded, we've messed up, we failed, we went the wrong way, whatever. And hopefully you learn from those experiences. And you know in the future, okay, I've seen this before. I've seen this before. I've seen this happen. And I already know this is an attack from the enemy. That he's trying to bring confusion. He's trying to attack and distract my focus from where it needs to be. Because if Satan can keep your focus off of God, he's winning. If he can keep your focus on what's happening in your life, he's winning. You have to keep your focus in reality based in God. The enemy will do everything he can to control your attention. Deception is what? Taking partial truth and mixing it in with lies, things that aren't quite right. Satan knows the word. He knows how much truth to put in there to make it sound, oh yeah, that's right. But he puts in the other things. It's not the whole truth. It's deception. Just like if one of my girls, you know, I began to question them about something that was happening or something that they did, and they gave me a little bit of truth. Yeah, I you know, this, and begin to tell me this happened, but they don't tell me all of it. My children are trying to deceive me. You know, like if Abby had started screaming that she, you know, she was getting mad at Alexis, and Abby comes and tells me, you know, Sissy hit me. Well, yeah, that was true, but she didn't tell me what Abby did to deserve that retaliation. You know, or Alexis doing the same thing. Either way, bringing partial truth, yes, this did happen, but not having all the truth. And that's what Satan does. He brings a little bit of truth. Satan knows the word. Buddy, does he know the word? But we have the power in Christ to defeat the enemy. Because if we are in the word, reading the word, then we know what's in there too. And when Satan brings out a little bit of truth to go, oh, this is what the word says, and he begins to try to distract you and give you, you know, a false reality, that you can go, yes, it does say that, but this is also what the word of God says. God confirms his truth. God is a God of confirmation. And so when Satan tries to bring other things in and into the mix that's not truth, you recognize it. And you can say, no, this is what the word of God says. This is what God has for me. This is what God meant for me. Not just being in the word, but being in prayer. Because the word and prayer is a powerful thing together. It's a powerful thing together. That you can read the word, but if you're not in prayer seeking wisdom on that, it's just words. You have to be in prayer too. That you ask for revelation and discernment in the word. That you say, I want to know what you mean. So that way you have that deeper relationship and maturity that you can stand against what Satan has. So what works in the natural works in the spiritual. Satan has a, you know, and his demons have gotten really good at controlling people's attentions and predicting their behavior. Because human behavior is very predictable. I'd watched a video earlier this week that nailed it right on that. And it was also off this program, The Brain Games. I don't know if you've ever seen it. But in that, what they did is it was a matter of getting people's focus on one thing. And in this thing, they had them have the days of the week, not in order, but just had them random, and then asked the person to say them in alphabetical order. And so your mind's focusing on trying to do that. And then they said, okay, now, you know, when they got done with that, pick a color and a tool. And probably 90% of the people picked red hammer. Because through their studies, the you know, some people didn't, but most people did. Probably 90% of the people did. Because predicted behavior meant red is such a common color, and hammer is what people identify as a tool most commonly. They predicted human behavior. Satan can predict human behavior. That's why earlier last year, I think it was, I preached on the plant life, that we don't need to be predictable. We need to be like the plant and be able to sprout up at different areas. You never know where another limb or a leaf is going to sprout out of a tree. There's no predicting it. It doesn't stop growing. So that's why we don't want to be predictable. We want to be in the Word of God, growing as the plant does, like He wants us to be, like the tree, you know, that brings life, that continues to grow, that doesn't stop growing, and that is unpredictable, because that's what throws Satan off, is when we're unpredictable. That's what we need to be, that when they can predict your behavior, because you're basing your perspective and your reality on the world, Satan's going to predict your behavior, and he's going to be able to do his best to defeat you. I'm not going to speak that on anybody. That's why I'm trying to be careful how I say this. But he's good at what he does. Very good at what he does. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. Now, Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. And I'll even go a step further to say that he's blinded the minds of those that do believe, because they're not strong in the Word and in prayer. They're on that line of going, I want to serve God, but I still kind of, you know, want to live in the world and do my own thing. He blinds the minds of those believers and unbelievers. He's had a long time to perfect his ability. Long time to perfect that. How can you guard yourself from being deceived and misdirected? By renewing your mind so it changes your point of perception to that of the Word of God. If someone learns the tricks and techniques of deception of the con artist, you will be aware of it and recognize it when you see it and be able to reveal it for what it really is. That's why we need the Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the leading of the Holy Spirit to be able to have that discernment to recognize the deceptions of the enemy. Romans 8:6, so letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. The decisions we make have outcomes. Every decision you make has an outcome. So how are your decisions being made? What reality are you basing your decisions on? Because it tells us in 1 Corinthians 2:10, but it was to us that God revealed these things by His Spirit. By whose Spirit? His Spirit. For His Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. The Spirit of God is what opens our eyes to the schemes of the enemy. It's the leading of the Holy Spirit that will open your eyes to see when an attack is about to happen. Even before it happens. It don't even have to be while it's happening or after it happened. The Spirit can give you the spiritual insight to recognize when an attack is about to happen. And imagine how much more effective your prayers can be when you begin to pray against it before it even happens. And that thing can be squashed even before it manifests. 1 John 4:1 says, my loved ones, I warn you. I what? I warn you. This is a warning. You guys ever heard on the radio, beep, beep, beep? This is a test of the emergency broadcast system. You know, this is a warning. Do not trust every spirit. Instead, examine them carefully to determine if they are from God. Because the corrupt world is filled with the voices of many false prophets. This is our warning. Don't trust every spirit, because there's a lot of spirits out there that got a hold of people, that are keeping their attention, that have them believing non-truths. There are many spirits sent to corrupt what you believe. There are always those whispering voices that try to convince you of something, that tries to convince you to believe certain things, or to tell you that certain things, hey, this is okay. The big push now is the lifestyle that you live. I'm sure you guys know I'm trying to word what I'm going to say carefully. How you live, how you love people, who you choose to love. Getting my drift? If a man loves a woman, I want some nodding if you guys are understanding what I'm saying here. There's a big push on that lifestyle and how you choose to live that lifestyle, to the point that you even begin to see churches condoning that lifestyle, accepting it. And they're doing it under the guise of, we love people. Isn't it the love thing to do? Who are you to judge what type of person another one loves? And when the church begins to accept that and condone it and say, you know, it's okay, it's directly against what the Word says. It's a direct violation of the Word of God. But when Satan begins to have the church accept it, more and more people are going to accept it, and it becomes the norm. It becomes the norm. It's accepted. Now, we don't accept that. We accept the people. That's where the world only... What's the word I'm looking for? Televises how the church doesn't accept that lifestyle, and that how the church is judgmental and doesn't love people, promoting hate. That there are all these things out there to try to convince people, oh, well, yeah, I don't want to be confused. You know, I don't want people to think that I hate them. So maybe I ought to just accept them. Yeah, you accept them. You don't accept their lifestyle of sin. As with any sin, it doesn't even have to be that. It could be a lifestyle of drugs, of adultery, whatever it might be, alcohol abuse. You accept them, you love them, but you don't accept that lifestyle. There are whispering voices out there trying to tell you and convince you of what reality is. And unless you know that your reality is based in the Word of God, you'll be deceived. You'll fall right in line with what those voices are saying, what those false prophets, false teachers are saying. I don't want that for you. I don't want that for you. I want you to be able to recognize, to have your focus on Jesus Christ. Your focus be on what the Spirit says. That you hear and see what the Lord is doing. That you sense in the Spirit, just like Miss Renee was saying earlier, the Spirit moves and people begin to say, hey, is this what you're feeling in the Spirit? Yes, it's the same thing I'm feeling. And in that Spirit is unity. In that Spirit, there is unity. That's why we need to have our focus and our reality in the Word of God. That's what brings unity. Because when our focus is in the Spirit of God, then there will be unity. There's not going to be any deception, because there will be recognition of when the enemy tries to attack. And the more people that you can bring into the truth of the reality, the more power there is in that. The more people can be reached and brought into the truth. Because truth and reality aren't the same thing. They are not the same thing. I can believe that gravity doesn't exist, but that's not the truth. When people say, "Oh, this is what I believe. This is what I believe. I believe that there's many ways to God, that we all coexist." It just depends on how God reaches that person. No. God says, "I am the way." Jesus, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." One way, one truth. He is the way and the truth. He is the truth. Where does your reality lie? Where does your reality lie this morning? Romans 12:2. "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." And what did I bring out last week? That He knows the plans that He has for you. Plans to prosper us. He has good plans for us. To know God's will. Be transformed to know what is reality. Be transformed in the truth of the Word of God. The world shovels out all kinds of ideas, thoughts on how you should live. And if that's what you do, where does your reality lie to you? This morning, as I close, I just want you to begin to search your heart. If you just bow your heads, where is your reality based? Where is your trust based? Where is your faith? What is it in? Only you can answer that question. And my prayer this morning is that you recognize, if it hasn't been in the Word, if it hasn't been based on God, that changes this morning. That there's a wake-up call in the spiritual. That there's a wake-up call that shows you where you've missed, where you've been deceived. Not that for you to be condemned or have fingers pointed at you, but simply that you can get back where God wants you. Simply so that you can live the life that God has planned and purposed for you. this morning, if there's anybody that needs or even wants prayer, you can come up. Myself or one of the others can pray with you and agree with you. We can't fix the problem. God can. All we do is agree in the power and authority that God has given us. That's what we do. Lord, we just thank you. Lord, open our eyes to see. He who has ears, let him hear what the Word of God says, what the Lord is saying. Open our spirits. Lord, where people might have been misled, deceived, bring them back to the light of truth. Right there in your seat this morning. Right there where you're sitting. Just tell God that you need Him. Just tell Him that you need Him. Lord, I need you. I need you. I need you in my life. Showing me. Pointing me in the direction that I need to go. Speaking loud for me to hear. Because sometimes I'm hard-headed. Lord, give us a sensitive spirit to be open to your change. Break the hard heart this morning. Break the hard heart. Lord, let your word, let your truth soak. Let it soak in us and through us. There's grace. There is always grace and love. There is always love and grace. Don't let the enemy, don't let Satan deceive you anymore. Don't let him fool you. Don't let his demonic spirits control your thoughts and your mind anymore. God loves you. God loves you more than you can think, more than you can comprehend. He loves you. He says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. I am all that you need. I am all that you desire. I am the one that fulfills every need, every desire. I'm the one that fills those areas that feel empty. I am that I am. He says, I am. I am fill in the blank. What do you need this morning? What do you need this morning? Where do you have the hurts? Where do you have those areas that you don't want to let go in your life? He says, I am the solution to everything that you face in this world, in this life. I am love. Lord, I bless your name. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth. And not just the truth, but the truth in love. Because that's the only way. And again, this morning, I feel it in my spirit. If you need prayer for anything, anything, it doesn't even have to pertain to what I've spoke on this morning. If there's anything that you need prayer for, the Spirit is here. The Spirit is here. I want to invite you. Move now while the Spirit is here. If you need anything, we will agree with you. While we're praying, if you feel the Spirit moving you to come, follow the leading of the Spirit that He has. Don't just sit there and spectate. Please, begin to pray. Let's be one body and pray and agree for healing or whatever God needs to do.